Dear fellow redeemed, what is it about Christmas that's really important? Somebody did a selection or a survey of a bunch of Christmas hymns, and he said, by looking at some of the Christmas songs, what's really important is that it was a bleak midwinter, and there was snow on snow. The oxen were lowing. The midnight was clear. The stars were brightly shining. The manger had splinters. And, of course, it went on with many, many things that we include as part of our Christmas songs. And these atmospherics in so many Christian hymns and carols serve a purpose. They give us a sense of time and place so that we can experience a sense of wonder. We can achieve a connection with that day. But the fact is that our experience today is not the important thing. What's important is the reality that we celebrate. And certainly our joy at Christmas can be exulting, but if it isn't because of the truth that we celebrate, it's an empty thing. Again, it isn't what we experience today, but it's the reality of Christmas Day that absolutely matters. And that brings us to our text. Are there emotions expressed in our text? Well, there really are. Fear, she was deeply troubled. Anxiety, she wondered what kind of statement this could be. Confusion, how can this be since I'm a virgin? Now, these aren't the feelings that we aim for in our Christmas hymns. But nevertheless, they were the emotions that she was going through that day. But even her emotional responses are not the most important thing, as reasonable as they were considering the announcement of the first Christmas, the announcement of all things, our Savior's incarnation, of all things, our Savior's nativity. The angel's message started with an introduction. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." And what that introduction did is it assured Mary that God was with her, and that she had found favor with him. Now imagine for a minute that you were to be confronted by an angel. So this is somebody that is an alien being. They're not part of our life. In fact, they are representative of the power of the universe, of everything that's true and good and moral and right. And in such a case, you too would fear such a confrontation. And there are times when we ourselves do fear holiness. There are times when we cry out in guilt and repentance, when we reflect upon some of the things that we've done or left undone. Or it may be that when we face the likelihood of our own death, we have to examine that and say, I could soon be standing before God. In such a case, what is it that we need to know? Standing before God's messenger, his representative, we need to know that we're acceptable to him. And so let me assure you, God has redeemed you, he gives you his righteousness, and therefore, like Mary, he likes you. You have his favor. He loves you. And therefore, even before the living God, don't be afraid. After the introduction, the angel said, "Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Now, you may not realize it, but in that paragraph, in that introduction, the angel touched dozens of threads of prophecy that came together at that moment. And this is where, you know, I really hope you guys read your Bible. And I hope that you read it a lot. Because the more you do, the stronger these words will echo in your hearts, just as they must have in Mary's. The Christmas warmth of a family gathering, that's nothing compared to what Mary was facing there as these strands of prophecies from thousands of years entwined in these words that she was listening to. The prophecy of the Savior, the Rescuer, the Suffering Servant, the Descendant who would undo the devil's work, the Eternal Son of David, the Everlasting King, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Son of the Father, and more of these were wrapped into those words that they heard from the angel. And Mary believed them. And not only did she believe them, but what she believed was true. And therefore, very real. And dealt with realities that were going to take place in Mary's life. Like you, Mary's religion was not just a bundle of vague spiritualities, as so many people have in their religion today, you know, where the pursuit is a feeling. But I have to tell you that however you may feel today, Christ is born. Your Savior is born. Your Redeemer is born. He suffered, died, rose again from the dead for you to make you his own. We deal with realities. And so Mary confronted the messenger with some of these realities. She was going to become pregnant. How? She wasn't married, and as a virtuous woman, she'd never taken any of the prerogatives of marriage. The angel's message then in response is interesting. She said, or the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So if you confront the reality that she's going to get pregnant, and it's not by a husband, who is the father? And the angel makes it clear. This child is going to be called the Son of God. Isaiah had foretold it in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive and have a son and name him Emmanuel." You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. So then the angel pointed to another reality to buttress this promise. Remember Elizabeth, that really old lady? Aged Elizabeth? She's pregnant. She's 6 months along. "Let me assure you, Mary," the messenger said, "nothing will be impossible with God." And so what was finally Mary's response? To set it up a little bit, I'll tell you, once I remember hearing an interview, the television reporter stuck a microphone in the face of a policeman who had just gone into a burning building and rescued a child. And what was the question that the reporter had? I'll paraphrase. When you found out there was a child still in the house, how did you feel? Now I'm going to submit, those are really irrelevant. That's a really irrelevant question. Do you suppose if he felt bad, the child would be better? If he felt good, the child... What do his feelings have to do with it? It's what he did. A better question, when you found out the child was there, what did you do? Mary, when you found out that you were going to be, properly understood, the mother of God, it isn't how did you feel, but Mary, what did you do? And what she did was, in faith, she accepted the reality of the incarnation of God. May it be done to me according to your word, she said. She would become pregnant. She'd give birth. She'd nurse a child. She'd bear the burden, the joy, and the reality of motherhood as the mother of God the Son. I'm the Lord's servant, said Mary. And that's the word spoken of a believer in obedience. And so today is, and tomorrow, we're kind of having this 2 day of Christmas together. As we and our children remember and reflect upon these realities, may our hearts be warmed. May they be uplifted. May we possess true joy. Go ahead, get emotional. Not just because of the candles and the music, but because God has become man. To live out the righteous life that we didn't and pay the penalty for our sin that we couldn't. For this we praise him. With angels and archangels and with all believers on earth and all the company of heaven, glory to God in the highest heaven. Amen. And now the true peace of Christmas be with you. Let us rise and pray. O Lord Jesus, when long ago today you were born into this world, you came to your own and your own received you not. The world for whose salvation you had come remained silent. No welcome, no words of rejoicing were on its lips. The heavenly host had to descend in order that your blessed birth might be celebrated with holy songs of rejoicing. Yet you did not return to heaven in disgust. You did not come because men wanted you, but because you wanted them. And you came not to seek and to save the holy, but sinners, not the well, but the sick. You came for us. And so the message, for unto you is born this day a Savior, was heard. But it was not heard then only. Rather, in joy and beauty it has been proclaimed from that time on and will be until the end of time. Countless souls have come in spirit to your manger to worship you and to rejoice greatly over your birth, and countless messengers of beauty and joy have carried their message across the ages and now also to us. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. Amen.